Welcome to the Future Is podcast, where we meet the people shaping what's next in business and life. I'm your host, Laura Kelleher, Chief Marketing Officer at Honeywell. And in today's episode, I'm joined by Gavin Teller, Honeywell's Chief Scientist for Sustainability. Today, we're going to discuss the state of corporate sustainability and areas of opportunity ahead of the annual COP28 summit. Gavin, thanks for being here with us today. So to start off, tell us about your career and what excites you about Honeywell.
Yes, so I've been with Honeywell now for 25 years, and I actually came here to work at Honeywell UOP because I wanted to work on the energy transition, on clean technology. I actually came here to work on hydrogen. And I've been very fortunate in the 25 years that I've been with Honeywell, I've had the chance to work on a lot of technologies to do with sustainability, to do with with new clean energy, including developing some of the sustainable aviation fuel technology that we now have and other things around hydrogen and clean fuels. The whole 25 years up until this August, I was with either Honeywell UOP or PMT or both of them. And I was actually the chief technology officer of PMT up until August. And on the technology side, that gave me the chance to really do the things that I enjoy in the chemical engineering space. Back in 2018, Suresh, our CTO, asked me to coordinate not just for PMT, but across the whole of Honeywell, all of the activities that we were doing in this space of sustainability, safety, and resilience, so our ESG-related product portfolio. And so I got the chance to lead a team with people from aerospace and buildings and SPS and learn a lot more about the other things we were doing in sustainability. So this summer, when Evan Van Hook retired as the Chief Sustainability Officer, I jumped at the chance to take on that role and kind of build out from what I'd already been doing on the technology side in helping not just to pull together the different sustainability stories from the different businesses, but also figure out where we want to go as Honeywell in terms of safety, resilience, sustainability, and how we can get a better overall Honeywell offering to our customers around the world.
So you talked about Honeywell. Can you tell us a little bit more about your perspective on the state of corporate sustainability globally? You know, what are some of the common trends, challenges, and opportunities among sustainability decision makers?
Yeah, this is clearly not just Honeywell. This is every company in the world that has to figure out what does sustainability mean to them. One of the things we do is every quarter we put out a survey. We call it the Environmental Sustainability Index, and you can see it on our website. And it's a survey of 750 sustainability leaders in companies, governments, organizations all around the world. And it's split about one third each between the Americas, EMEA, and Asia Pacific. And over 90% of those companies say that they're increasing their spend or at least holding it constant in the sustainability area. So pretty much everywhere in the world, everyone now understands that global warming is a real threat to society. And that social pressure is translating into legislative pressure from governments, but also investors are talking to companies all around the world saying, well, what are you doing? What are you doing to address your carbon footprint? Where are you going for sustainability? Investors want to know if they're putting money into a company, that company has got a long-term vision of how it's going to stay profitable and stay in business, and that the leadership of that company understands the challenge of climate change and understands what they're going to do about it. So companies all around the world are very seriously now thinking through what's their plan to reduce their carbon footprint, what's their plan to address sustainability of their products, and how their products are used.
So the annual UN Climate Change Conference, or COP28, is coming up. What are some of the key outcomes you hope to see from this year's conference?
Yeah, it's going to be very interesting, actually, to see how the COP meeting goes this year. This is the 28th conference of parties under the UN framework for climate change. And I think that the meeting that happened just this week, actually, between President Xi Jinping of China and President Biden sets us on a very good course, because the world's two largest emitters, China and the United States, have actually made some agreement to take initiatives around addressing some of the things that are big drivers. Obviously, Honeywell's position, we have a lot of technologies that we've developed that are ready now that can be deployed to address climate change and that actually have good paybacks. So we don't, you know, we obviously we We benefit when legislation causes technology to be adopted faster, but we want to make sure that people really understand how many of the options are already ready to go, proven technologies that will give a good payback. And some examples of things that fall in that category. Methane emissions. Methane is a much worse greenhouse gas than carbon dioxide. And methane emissions come from venting, from coal and oil production, from flares that don't operate efficiently, and some of them from fugitive emissions. We have technologies that can actually be used to identify methane, to find methane leaks so that they can be addressed. We have technologies for flare monitoring to make sure that flares are operating at peak performance. And all of these things actually have a payback, because methane that you don't waste, methane that you don't flare or vent, it can be used, it can be burned as a fuel, it can be used to generate power. So methane is something that really there should be much faster action around. Sustainable aviation fuel technology. We've been doing a lot of work to expand the range of feedstocks that can be used to make sustainable aviation fuel. And the aviation sector has set the COSIA targets. They know that they need to move to more sustainable aviation fuel. It's really the oil and gas companies need to up the pace of investment and bring more projects along faster to expand the supply of fuel. One of the great things about the sustainable aviation technologies that we've developed is that they really are drop-in. You don't have to change out all the aircraft. You don't have to change out the engines. You just need to make the fuel become available. So we hope we'll see more global action around sustainable aviation fuel. And then in the space of battery energy storage and microgrids. So we have a lot of experience across process solutions and across building technologies in deploying microgrids to manage renewable assets. So to bring more wind, solar power, combine that with battery storage and create areas that within a microgrid that are operating closer to net zero or even actually at net zero. And that can enable building operators, campuses, whether it's a hospital, an airport, a university, whatever, to set their path mapping to net zero. So I'm hoping there's going to be a lot of discussion at the COP around creating local microgrid areas that will be a way of accelerating the path to net zero for communities or for entities like harbors or campuses and things like that. So I think those are three areas that where we have technologies that are really ready to go and get a payback right now for customers. And hopefully some of that will be picked up out of the COP and more governments will be like, yeah, we should be doing this.
Yes, I hope those are some of the outcomes that we see. And these are great technology solutions that, you know, are ready now to solve the problems, like you said. And, you know, it's just such a plus that there's a payback as well, right, for the firms who are incorporating these in their operations. So you talked a lot about things that are available now for customers. What is Honeywell doing in our own operations to implement sustainability efforts?
So we set our own target of being carbon neutral across our scope 1 and 2 emissions by 2035. We also signed up for the DOE target to actually reduce our emissions 50% below 2018 levels by 2030. So a lot of the things that we're doing are the same things we sell to our customers. And we go through, our buildings team goes through all of our buildings and adopt the same things around better building management systems, better control of HVAC, more efficient lighting, using variable speed drives, things like that. So we've applied those technologies in our own buildings, and that's how we've actually been able to reduce our carbon footprint already by 90% versus what it was in 2004. But we're also deploying some of our industrial technologies in our own manufacturing plants. So, for example, the cameras that we use to monitor methane leaks can also see leaks of fluorocarbon gases that we manufacture in our Geismar plant. So we've been using that to actually reduce our process emissions from our own manufacturing. One of the other technologies that's ready to go is hydrogen manufacture with carbon capture. And most of our chemical manufacturing plants are on the Gulf Coast, which is an area where there already are hydrogen networks. So we're working with customers like ExxonMobil to expand their big blue hydrogen plant that they're going to build in the Baytown refinery. And we're in conversation with suppliers in the Gulf Coast area about sourcing hydrogen for our plants so that we'll be able to switch our plants to low emissions fuel at some point in the future. And then, of course, we're doing a lot across multiple sites around the world to deploy renewable technology. So solar panels, rooftop solar. We have several large projects that we've been doing to make sure that our manufacturing facilities are powered with renewable energy.
Well, there's a lot of exciting work being done here. Really impressive, and looking forward to kind of watching this story over time. When it comes to the future of climate action overall, what's your outlook? I mean, are you hopeful that organizations can meet the carbon reduction goals that are needed?
Well, it's important not to ever feel like powerless in the face of climate change, right? These are huge problems. The IEA have actually said, we're spending about $1.5 trillion a year across the globe on energy transition. But to actually hit the 1.5 target, that needs to be more like in the range 3 to 4 trillion dollars a year. So the pace at which we're doing the transition is not fast enough. Okay, we do need to be doing more. We do need more action. However, at the same time, I'm still very optimistic because there's a lot of creativity now being applied to these problems, right? We at Honeywell are working on many, many different aspects of not just the energy transition, but all ways of making society more sustainable. And it's inspiring a lot of the next generation of scientists and engineers to come and work for us, to work for other companies, or do research in this space. So a lot of human creativity is now being applied towards coming up with sustainable technologies. So that does give me some optimism. So yes, we do have an enormous challenge. We absolutely need to pick up the pace and do more and go faster. But human ingenuity should never be underestimated. I am confident that we're going to find better solutions. But the fact that there are better solutions out there is not an excuse for not doing something now. We still need to actually be getting on with making progress in the near term.
Good. Yeah, I love the optimism. Obviously, we all depend on that. And this is really good stuff. As you know, our podcast focuses on the future, but we always like to ask our guests that one last question to reflect back and think about, when you were growing up, what did you want to do in the future?
Well, so I grew up in a very small farming community, and I didn't even know what an engineer was until I was about 16 or 17, and no one talked about engineering. Mostly when I was growing up, what I wanted to go someplace more interesting. I wanted to get out and go to a city or go to a foreign country and meet people who are different from me. As I got older and I realized that I was good at math and chemistry, I wanted to do something that was science and technology. And I realized that I could do that and also do something that would make a difference in the world. And so I didn't actually discover that there was such a thing as chemical engineering until I was about 17. And as soon as I heard about it, I'm like, yeah, that's what I'm going to go do. I'm going to go be a chemical engineer, and I'm going to get a job where I can go different places, meet interesting people, solve big problems. So to me, working for Honeywell is fantastic for that because I really do think the future is what we make it. I really do think this is a company that makes a difference because we work on technologies that go to other companies. We're business to business, but we help other companies do stuff. And that gives us a big force multiplier on everything that we do, because when we invent a technology, it makes a lot of other companies much better. So I feel that I'm doing the thing that I actually wanted to do. I'm using the science, the technology, the math skills that I had to actually do something that's helping to make a difference in the world.
Thank you so much for sharing that with us, and thanks for joining us today on the podcast.
Thank you, Laura.
For more stories on the people and innovations shaping what's next in business and life, subscribe to The Future Is and leave us a review where you listen to podcasts.